नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
वृत्यलक्षणजिज्ञासुर्भक्तं
भक्तं कामेश्वचोदयात् भवान् संसारबीजेषु हृदयाग्रन्थिषु प्रभो
O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has given considerable discussion about Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha devotees. Nitya Siddha devotees come from Vaikuntha to this material world to teach by their personal example how to become a devotee. The living entities in this material world can take lessons from such Nitya Siddha devotees and thus become inclined to return home back to Godhead. A Nitya Siddha devotee comes from Vaikuntha upon the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shows by his example how to become a pure devotee. Anyabilashita sunyam. In spite of coming to this material world, the Nitya Siddha devotee is never attracted by the allurements of material enjoyment. A perfect example is Prahlad Maharaj, who is a Nitya Siddha, a Mahabhagavat devotee. Although Prahlad was born in the family of Hiranyakashipu, an atheist, he was never attached to any kind of material enjoyment. Desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee, the Lord tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to take material benedictions. But Prahlad Maharaj did not accept them. On the contrary, by his personal example, he showed the symptoms of a pure devotee. In other words, the Lord himself has no desire to send his pure devotee to this material world, nor does a devotee have any material purpose in coming. When the Lord himself appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activity. Yet by his example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Similarly, a devotee who comes here in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord shows by his personal behavior how to become a pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Text number 3. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj reveals the natural humility of his heart. He says, "My Lord, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly, do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Prahlad, before God, is revealing his feelings. What is his qualification to see the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead? He's born not only in an atheist family, but in the family of the greatest offender, the son of a murderer, a terrorist, the greatest enemy of Vishnu, one who wants to exterminate all Vishnu's devotees by any means, one who has vowed to kill Vishnu, and drink his blood, and offer it to Hiranyaksha, his brother. And he didn't just speak these things, but he acted on them with massive armies. This is Prahlad's father. He's saying, this is my family, my Lord. A person who was always intoxicated, who was constantly Hiranya and Kashipu, addicted to gold and illicit sex life. He would do anything to satisfy his greed for gold, for wealth, his lust, and his thirst for power. You may want to be a temple commander or a temple president. You may want to be get a promotion in your company, or even be the president, or even be a prime minister. But Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to be the Lord of the universe. That was his thirst for power. And to a certain extent, he succeeded by his determination. So Prahlad, he's not trying to justify, my father's a demon, but I'm a nice devotee. He's saying, my father's such a demon, such an atheist, such a family, what is my uncle? Therefore, naturally, I am attached to material enjoyment. Now, that's not what you expect a pure devotee to be, attached to material enjoyment. Pure means purified of desires for material enjoyment. Complete absorption in pleasing Krishna with one's body, mind, words, and life. That is a pure devotee. And a pure devotee, we think, is fearless. But Prahlad is admitting that he's afraid. He's afraid of material conditions. He's afraid of the temptations for material enjoyment. And Prahlad is saying, it is for this reason that I'm so fallen, so full of material desires, and so afraid of those desires. It is for that reason that I have taken shelter of you. And he's given credit to his guru, Narada Muni. It is by his grace that I have achieved shelter of you. No qualification of my own. And in this verse, Prahlad is saying that you have sent me to this world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Because the seed of lusty desires, which is in the root cause of all material existence, is in the core of everyone's heart. To help them, to help all these people who are afflicted by lusty desires, material enjoyment, you have sent me to this world as your pure devotee. So it seems like a contradiction. First he's explaining all his impurities, and then he's saying, I'm a pure devotee. Prahlad is giving no credit to himself. Obviously, he's done some great things. He has not exhibited. He may be saying he has material desires, which he believes. But there's no trace. Hiranyakashipu offered him every possible benediction of this world. All he had to do was just not preach to his father. That's all. He didn't have to agree with his father. All he had to do was be neutral. Yes? He didn't have to say, Father, you are the best. He didn't have to say, Hiranyakashipu ki jai. All he had to do was say, the subject I liked best was geography. That's all. If he would have just done that, Prahlad was Hiranyakashipu's favorite son. He controlled the demigods. He controlled the natural forces. He controlled all the wealth of the universe, everything below Brahma. Every possible material benediction was him, was for him by his father. But he rejected everything and chose, instead of to be sleeping in a magnificent palace that was just his, made out of gold and jewels, he chose instead to be thrown into a pit of poisonous snakes. To be thrown under the ocean and put a mountain over him. Instead of eating the finest, most luxurious foods that even the demigods cannot get, he chose to accept poison. Dangerous poison. Instead of accepting all sorts of power, all he had to do was cooperate with his father. His father would have given power over all the armies, over all the citizens. He would have given power over the demigods. He chose to be the enemy, where the Rakshasas were piercing him with tridents and swords. Hiranyakashipu had the power to regulate the temperature of the universe. That would have been given to Prahlad. But instead, Prahlad agreed to be held in blazing fire for a long period of time. So Hiranyakashipu was not only offering him the best benedictions anyone could have, better than anything Indra could get. It wasn't that he was just offering him benedictions.
If he didn't accept him, he was going to be tortured and killed.
Prahlad chose that.
Does that sound like a person who's full of material desires? But Prahlad is saying, I'm so much like my father, I'm full of material desires. And Hiranyakashipu is an atheist who hated Vishnu. And Prahlad is constantly remembering Vishnu and chanting his holy names and repeating his words in every circumstance. So he proved his purity. Anyone can say, I'm a pure devotee. But we find that pure devotees say they're full of material desires. They just live like pure devotees. And others speak about their pure devotees, but they don't live that way.
And then the Supreme Lord, Narasimhadev, is offering Prahlad any benediction. And he would have never been in any way accused of being materialistic if he just allowed the Lord to give him things. But he was denying these material benedictions. He was begging the Lord, please don't tempt me because I'm a materialistic person. If you tempt me, I could fall down to doing business with you. This is how subtle Prahlad is. Our conception is fall down is, you know, to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, or making some serious aparad to a Vaishnav. We're afraid of that kind of fall down. For Prahlad, it was a major devastating fall down to ask something material from the Lord. Because for him, that would do business. I'm not a devotee. If I ask anything of you, I'm not a devotee. Banik, I'm just a businessman. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakam. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaiti kitoi. Lord Chaitanya said, I do not want wealth or pleasures of the body or fame or power or even liberation. I only want to serve you unconditionally. So this is Prahlad. So Prahlad knows that people are going to think he's a pure devotee because of the way he's not accepting anything except service. So here he's humbling himself even more, saying, it's by your will that I'm acting like a pure devotee in this world. It's due to your mercy to all the people of this world who are being plagued by lusty desires. Because of your love and compassion for all these people, you have empowered me to be a pure devotee, to exemplify the way you want them to live. It's not me, it's you, my Lord. I'm not a pure devotee because of me. I'm just all these other things I said, but I'm acting as a pure devotee like your puppet. This was Srila Prabhupada's spirit. Let me just be your puppet, my Lord, and dance the way you want me to dance. Prabhupada gave all credit to Krishna, to his guru, to his disciples,
to anyone who helped him. He did not boast. And when he did say something about him being a pure devotee, it was in this mood, that I'm just a puppet of the Lord. The Lord could make even me act like a pure devotee, dance like a pure devotee, out of the Lord's mercy and love for all living beings. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining herein, quoting from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Prahlad Maharaj is a Nitya Siddha. He was sent from Vaikuntha for the purpose of showing the example of pure devotional service to the whole world. And how important his example is. Do not be disheartened. No one can imitate Prahlad. Sometimes we may ask, why does pure devotees have to be so extreme? We could never live up to Prahlad or Ambarish. Very difficult. You know, why doesn't the Srimad Bhagavatam talk about people like me, you know? just try to do everything for Krishna. But how are we supposed to ever be Prahlad or Dhruva? Hare Krishna. The Lord arranges such spectacular, extravagant devotional service just to show us what a pure heart is. And we may not be able to imitate, but however pure we become, we'll always feel ourselves an insignificant speck of dust compared to Prahlad or Dhruva. Yes, and that's good. Even if we become paramhamsas, when we see the standard of the devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, we think ourselves very, very small. That's the Lord's mercy. In the material world, people like to be the best. But in Vaishnavas, we just want to be a speck of dust at the feet of the Vaishnavas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his last days, was giving his final instructions to his disciples. He didn't say you should all want to be paramhamsas. He said, every one of us, our only desire in life should be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. If that's your only desire, you are a paramhamsa. If your desire is to be a paramhamsa, then you're not. Srila Prabhupada, what kind of an exalted pure devotee he was. But he was thinking himself to be just so small and insignificant compared to his Guru Maharaj. He is a Vaikuntha man, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, or Bhakti Vinod Thakur, or the six Goswamis. Who could imitate Raghunath Das Goswami? If you're a really nice brahmachari, pure devotee brahmachari, if you start getting proud, just think, the standard is Raghunath Das Goswami. And even if you're only eating one meal of khichdi a day, you'll think, I'm such a sense enjoyer compared to Raghunath Das Goswami. And even if you're only sleeping 3 hours a day, you're thinking, Raghunath Das Goswami only slept 1 hour. And he would usually forget about that too. So in this way, Krishna gives us the spirit which we could imbibe of these great souls. Mahajano yena katasapanta. The path of perfection, Lord Chaitanya said, is to follow in the footsteps of these great souls like Prahlad, the Mahajans, to follow in their footsteps, but following in the footsteps, just those words themselves are very interesting. Following in their footsteps for a devotee means to be at their feet, their footsteps. Yes, following in their footsteps. A speck of dust, if we just stick to their feet, that means we're following in their footsteps. To be the servant of the servant of the servant is to follow in the footsteps, not following in the head steps. Following in the footsteps. To be the servant. To be at the feet of the great souls. So yes, that's why these pure devotees, the Lord reveals to be so absolutely supernatural in their devotional service. So that however great we are, we realize we're insignificant compared to the Nitya Siddha Vaishnavas that the Lord has revealed to us. And also gives us some sense of hope and courage that it's all not so hard, because we all have to go through tests and tribulations and trials. It's the nature of the path of devotion. There will be enemies. There will be internal temptations and aversions. There will be external temptations and aversions. There will be so many obstacles that come on our path. And to make spiritual advancement, we have to be faithful and pass through these tests. But when we look at Prahlad, at the tests he had, or Ambarish Maharaj, we think, it's not so bad. My tests are really pretty simple. Yes? Otherwise, it appears very, very overcoming. So for so many reasons, Krishna wants to glorify his pure devotees and teach us by their example of what they're willing to do for him and how they do it. Therefore, Mahajano yena katasapanta. To follow in the footsteps of great souls like this, that is the only path of perfection. These Nitya Siddhas, they are sent by the Lord from the spiritual world to help him in his mission. And a sadhana siddha is one who follows in the footsteps of the nitya siddhas and attains the same perfection. Srimad Bhagavatam gives an example that to cross the ocean of material existence is impossible for any of us. You have more chance swimming across the Arabian Sea, the Atlantic Ocean, or the Pacific Ocean, all of them together. You have a better chance swimming across without a life raft or a boat, just with your arms and legs, just swimming across all these oceans of material existence, of this world. That's easy compared to crossing the ocean of material existence. That's impossible. No one can do it. The ocean of material existence is unlimited. It's so deep. And there's so many dangerous aquatics in that ocean. We're absolutely insignificant. It's like you take a little ant and put it in the ocean and tell him, swim across. He has a much better chance than us.
But the Bhagavatam says, but one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, can easily cross over it. It becomes transformed into the water contained in the footprint, put in the hoofprint of a calf. And it says the pure devotees of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord, they are so merciful that, you know, the Lord leaves behind the boat for more and more and more and more people to come in the form of his devotees. So yes, we can cross over the ocean of material existence by taking shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees. But by any other means, the Bhagavatam says, any other means is like taking shelter of a boat made out of solid stone. It will just force us to sink lower and lower. Prahlad's determination, Prahlad's enthusiasm to always remember Krishna, to always be in a spirit of service toward others, by giving Krishna to his classmates, by giving Krishna to his father, by giving Krishna to everyone. Prahlad's humility. This is all practical examples of what we should strive to cultivate in our own lives. Today is a holy day. It is Odana Shasti, which is the story of another pure devotee and how the Lord deals with his devotees as an example to everyone else. This is another Nitya Siddha devotee. Should I tell one story? Thank you. Odana Shasti is celebrated every year in Jagannath Puri. Leading up to it, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri. In his heart, the Lord knew that his very dear devotee, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, was coming. And the Lord was very, very intimately longing for the association of his devotee. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi arrived in Puri. As soon as he came, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started calling out, "My father, my father, my father has come." He is a Nitya Siddha. Pundarik Vidyanidhi in Goloka Vrindavan is the father of Srimati Radharanu, Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is both Nanda Nandana, Krishna, and Vrishabhanu Nandini, Radharani, in the mood of Vrishabhanu Nandini. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Pundarik Vidyanidhi his own father. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even before he saw him, was was crying in ecstasy, calling out his name as his father. He came to see the Lord, and as soon as the Lord saw him, he embraced him and wept tears of love. Pundarik Vidyaniri was so dear to all the devotees in Puri. Swarup Damodar Goswami was his very old friend from Navadweep. And when the two of them came together, there was no end to their happiness serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving the Vaishnavas, discussing Krishna Katha. Adwaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, they would find the greatest happiness in extolling the glories of Pundarik Vidyaniti. They would see Jagannath every day in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, do Harinam Sankirtan, Krishna Katha, take prasad together. How the devotees were united. On this day of Odanashasti, new garments are offered to Lord Jagannath. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy to always go to all the festivals in the Jagannath temple. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how the worshipper and the worshipped were the same person. The worshipable Lord, Sri Chaitanya, the worshipable Lord appears in a wooden form on the altar to accept all services in the form of Jagannath, and that same worshipable Lord is appearing as a sannyasi, as a devotee, who's worshiping with his body, mind, words, and life himself in the form of Jagannath. This is the loving exchange. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. He is Jagannath with the complexion and the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Basu Ghosh sings that beautiful song. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Sachidanandana. That all glories to Lord Jagannath, who has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi, to teach us how to attain pure love in this world. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there as the priests were offering Jagannath new starched garments, brand new. It's a big festival. It's kind of coming to the beginning of winter time. So it's getting a little colder, so they're offering so many new garments. And they offer all day and all night. This garment after garment after garment. Jagannath was receiving silken garments of blue and yellow and red and green and purple, so many. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of garments. Then they were offering him jewelry, bangles and ankle bells and necklaces, all made out of fresh, fragrant flowers. More and more and more, they were bringing different flower crowns. Then they offered him the artis and the 16 offerings. According to the prescribed regulations, they offer him various, very, very expensive fragrant scents for
for his pleasure, offering him various types of bhoga offerings, of most delicious foods. And Lord Chaitanya and all his associates just watched Jagannath accepting all these offerings till the end of the night. Went on all night long. Hari Hari. Prabhupada said, when you are happy to see the deity getting all nice things, you lose the desire to have those things yourself. Just to watch the deity getting these things is nice. But when you actually feel happiness seeing the deities getting nice offerings, that cleanses you of the desire to have it yourself. Because you understand it is millions of times greater happiness. It's the happiness of the soul when Krishna gets these things. And it's the temporary limited happiness of the body, of the mind and body when we get it. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarajam rasopyasya param drishtvanivartate. We can give up the desire for enjoying ourselves when we experience a higher taste. And what is the higher taste? When you water the root of a tree, the whole tree is really happy. We're little twigs. Or maybe we're little leaves. Or maybe we're big flowers. We may have different positions. But if we're trying to take the water ourselves, there's some satisfaction. You know, the water kind of soaks in a little and we're thinking, very nice, very nice. But it doesn't really go to where, it doesn't nourish us. But when you water the root, not only are we nourished, but everyone's nourished. So taking happiness in seeing Krishna happy is the higher taste. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this example in so many ways. He went to Advaita Prabhu's house for prasad, and Advaita Prabhu showed him the offering he made to his deities. So many preparations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. Krishna has eaten so well. Now just give me some boiled rice. I don't need any. I'm happy seeing Krishna eating so nicely. Hari Hari. But as far as Advaita was concerned, you are Krishna. You may be happy that Krishna got all these things, but I'll be happy when you get these things. That was the loving relationship they had. Lord Chaitanya said, how can I eat so many things? This is so much preparations. You know, 10 men taking 10 days could hardly prepare so many meals. I'm just one little sannyasi. Just give me a little leaf plate of some rice. Advaita Prabhu said, no, my lord, I know how much you can eat. You are Lord Jagannath, 56 offerings a day in huge, massive quantities. You're eating all that every day. And in Dwarka, 16,108 queens are cooking big feasts for you every day, and you're eating it all simultaneously. And in Vrindavan, all the gopis, all the millions and millions of gopis are cooking feasts for you every day, and you're eating everything. This is just a small little tiny part. I'm sorry, this is all I can offer you. This was the Lord's relationship. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a sannyasi, just wearing some very, very simple saffron clothes. And his devotees were something like that. But they were just completely in ecstasy seeing Jagannath getting gold and rubies and diamonds and flowers and very beautiful, fresh, brand new silken garments. They were happy.
come to Radha Gopinath temple and you see the deities getting wonderful foods, bhoga, and you see, and even you may participate in helping to prepare it, and you see that they're getting nice garments and wonderful, wonderful glorification. If you just take happiness in that, you're liberated. It's millions of times more satisfying than trying to get anything for yourself. Because Krishna is eternally Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. He is eternally full of six opulences. If you're happy by your wealth, how long can you keep it? But if you're happy with Krishna's wealth, his wealth is unlimited, his wealth is eternal, so your happiness is eternal and unlimited. If you're happy with Krishna's beauty is unlimited, unparalleled, and unending. But your beauty, a few years, even if you have it. Most people don't even have it. People who don't have it want it. People who have it are envious of people who have more. Yes. So even if you have it, what will happen? See what tomorrow brings. It's gone. Time will just suck it all away from you. So if people who are very young and beautiful, sometimes they really go through, you know, serious transitional problems, midlife crises and everything when they start becoming old. Yes, nobody cares anymore. Or fame. Fame is chanchalam. It comes and it goes. We don't know. Fame and blame. So any of these things that we can enjoy, it's a source of misery, according to Gita. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jonaya evati. But if we find happiness in Krishna's beauty, then we'll be happy unlimitedly forever. So which is a better way to live? To learn to be happy seeing Krishna enjoying. That is bhakti. And then the competition is no longer I want and you want. I want this position and you want this position. Then there's competition. Could bring animosity. I want this wealth and you want this wealth. I want this land and you want this land. So much animosity. But if the competition is, let us all, we can even compete to give it to Krishna. If we compete to give it to Krishna, it breeds love between us. But if we compete for ourselves, it will bring animosity. It's like book distribution marathon is going on. So there's some competition maybe. Prabhupada liked competition. But the competition is to give pleasure to Krishna, Guru. It's not to give pleasure to myself. Krishna's pleased. Prabhupada is pleased when we distribute the book. So let's all do the best we can for their pleasure. But if we're thinking, I want the credit, then that can create, because that's a material conception. I want the credit. I want the happiness. Then it creates friction. And ultimately, it doesn't make us happy. the gopis wanted nothing for themselves, and therefore they got everything. And other people want everything for themselves, and ultimately they're left with nothing. This is the philosophy of bhakti. So here in Odana Shasti, the Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were absolutely ecstatic just seeing. They wouldn't leave that place. This is once a year where Jagannath just gets garment after garment after garment and jewels and flowers and bhoga. They couldn't leave that place. They were just in such ecstasy seeing Jagannath enjoy. And finally, when the celebration was complete, they all went to Lord Chaitanya's abode and took some prasad, and Lord Chaitanya said goodbye to them and went to take rest. Then the devotees took some prasad, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar were alone. After everyone else left, they were alone. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi very honestly revealed his heart to Swarup Damodar Goswami. This is very interesting. He had a serious doubt. And because they were such close associates as Vaishnavas, they could honestly reveal their hearts to each other. The six loving exchanges, Rupa Goswami tells us, to reveal one's mind and to hear another reveal one's mind. Even confidentially, intimately, all centered around Krishna consciousness, trying to be better devotees. Now, usually when advanced devotees come together, they don't want to reveal to another one that I have some fundamental doubts. They just try to keep that secret. Maybe Krishna doesn't even know. Or I'll just pray to Krishna very privately. But are we willing to reveal doubts in the Vaishnavas? Well, these Nityasiddhas, Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Brishabhanu Maharaj. These are residents of Goloka. But in this world, they're playing the parts of devotees. And they're showing us how to be devotees. Not just that they're showing us like a stage performance, but they're really in this mood. They're really like this. It's for real when they're revealing their hearts to each other. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he says, why are they offering unwashed, starched garments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is not proper. Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Jagannath is the Supreme Lord. If he wants to enjoy this festival, he has every right to enjoy this festival. Pundarik said, but this is against the rules and regulations of the Shastras, the Shrutis and the Smritis. You never, ever, ever offer starched garments unwashed to the Lord. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, the Lord is beyond all rules and regulations. He can do anything he likes. This is a very nice festival. It was a wonderful festival. The Lord doesn't have to follow Shrutis and Smritis. He's above all of these things. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he said, I know that Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to follow any rules or any regulations. He's above everything. But his devotees should follow these rules because they're offering it to him. You know what it says in the scriptures. You know how people follow. A starched garment that is unwashed is considered contaminated, and even an ordinary person who touches it with his hand is bound by Shastra to wash his hand immediately. It's contaminated. And they're putting these garments on the body of the Supreme Lord. Yes, the Lord can do anything, and the Lord will accept, you know, whatever his devotees are giving, but why should the devotees put contaminated things on the Lord? Why don't they follow the scriptural injunctions? He was feeling some pain in his heart. And Lord, and Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, if the Lord didn't want these garments, he would reveal it to the king and he would stop it. But the Lord is enjoying these garments. He doesn't care. So therefore we should honor his servants. His servants are trying to please him. So we should honor them and we should be happy. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he said, yes, the Lord is beyond all rules and regulations. He can do anything he likes. And then they both were laughing and holding hands together as they were walking down the roads. So beautiful relationship. They're holding hands, they're laughing, they're revealing their minds, they're having an argument. This is Vaishnava association. When devotees have arguments, they should hold hands. As intimate friends. Not that they should show their fists to each other. So they were laughing. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was laughing that, you know, why did I have this doubt? Why did I doubt the servants of the Lord? So then they went back to Lord Chaitanya's place and Pundarik Vidyanidhi went to take rest. When he fell asleep, suddenly, in his dream, he saw Lord Balaram and Lord Jagannath coming out of Jagannath's temple and marching toward him with very angry expressions on their face. Jagannath and Balaram both came right up to him, and with both of their hands, they slapped him in the face. Slapping, slapping, slapping. And Jagannath had rings on his hands. And he was poof, 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 poof. And it was really painful. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was screaming out in pain, my Lord, what have I done? What offense have I done that you're beating me like this? Please forgive me, I am yours. And then he bowed down and put his, clasped his head to Lord Jagannath's feet. Lord Jagannath with very angry eyes. Now you know Jagannath's eyes. When Jagannath's eyes become angry, very, very transcendental. And Jagannath very harshly says, Pundarik, you call yourself my devotee? And you are doubting my other devotees? I am punishing you. I'm beating your cheeks and I'm beating your mouth because you spoke against the Vaishnavas. You have criticized their offering starched garments to me. But I am enjoying their starched garments. But I am very angry that you are criticizing my devotees. What are you doing here? Why have you come to Puri? If you don't like the way my devotees are serving me, get out. Leave this place. You have no business being here. And then Jagannath, boom, boom, started beating him in the face again. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was crying. He was like, my Lord, please forgive me, please forgive me. And Lord Jagannath said, because you are also my devotee, I will spare you. It is only because I love you that I have punished you in this way. And then Jagannath and Balaram gazed upon him with great affection and returned to the temple of Jagannath. Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up, and to his great astonishment, both of his cheeks were bruised red by the beatings of Lord Jagannath. And he was thinking, he was exclaiming, this is auspicious. This is so auspicious. The Lord is so merciful that I made a mistake and he came to punish me. How fortunate I am that the Lord has punished me. This is the humility of a Vaishnav. He's not thinking, why is the Lord doing this to me? He's thinking, the Lord is so kind. I have made a mistake, and now he's rectifying my mistake. The Lord is saving my life by rectifying my mistakes. By punishing me for my misdeeds, he's protecting me from ruining myself by doing this again. This was his mood. So he was smiling. He woke up smiling, although he was in pain. But that pain was ecstatic. So then he went early morning to join Swarup Damodar Goswami and the other devotees to see Lord Jagannath. And Swarup Damodar Goswami asked him, why is it that usually you always come so early to see Jagannath with me. Why you came late? And then he looked and saw the swollen red cheeks of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, what happened to you? What is this? And Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, it is very auspicious. I had a dream last night. And the Lord punished me by beating me with his fingers, which had big rings on them. He was beating my mouth and my cheeks because I doubted his devotees. This is very, very important. Even if devotees are not behaving exactly as you would expect them to behave, if you criticize them, the Lord may be more angry with you than them. Yes. Devotee may not be following all the rules of etiquette so perfectly. And it may be true. The fact is, the priests in Puri were breaking the Shrutis and the Smritis. It was a fact. It wasn't an illusion. But the Lord was pleased with them, even though they were not following the rules so carefully, because they had devotion. Pundarik Vidyanidhi he would very carefully follow the rules. Pundarik Vidyanidhi never bathed in the Ganges, because he was thinking it was an offense to put your feet in the Ganges. So he would just bow down to the Ganga every day and put water on his head and drink the water. That's all. That was his mood. He was very, very careful. But Lord Jagannath was chastising him. And this is the last story of the whole Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Usually when you have such an important scripture like this, or even a lecture, you usually try to end it with like a very powerful statement people will remember. Yes, you begin it, you try to begin something so that you get people's attention, and you try to end it with a thought that people will remain with. This is the last story. Vrindavan Das Thakur wants us to remember very carefully a couple things from this story. One is, don't criticize Vaishnavas. Even if they're not acting according to your expectations, and even if they are doing something that may appear wrong, be careful not to criticize them, because they may be dear to the Lord, even in their mistakes. We have to be extremely careful of that. And who are we compared to Pundarik Vidyanidhi? For him, Jagannath personally came and beat him up. To us, he may just withdraw his mercy and we fall down. Or he may beat us up. But if we don't recognize it as being auspicious and learn our lesson, then we will have to suffer. So he explained this to Swarup Damodar Goswami, that I was beat up by Lord Jagannath. He slapped my face. And Balaram also was there, just to rectify me because I criticized his devotees. And look, you can see. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was in ecstasy. He said, I have heard so many ways the Lord has leelas with his devotees, but I've never heard of this before, where he appears in a dream and beats his devotee and leaves the scars of that beating when the devotee wakes up. He said, you, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, are the most fortunate. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi also accepted his good fortune. This is another very, very tate nukampam susamikshamano. It's a very important lesson to remember, that when difficulties, obstacles, or punishments come, two things should happen. We should feel very fortunate, very, very fortunate that the Lord is giving me mercy like this, and we should rectify our mistake. That is the path of perfection. In both devotees, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar Goswami, were laughing and just experiencing the highest joy in seeing Jagannath's punishment to his devotees. When the Lord punishes us, it is always out of love. Even his anger is love. For Krishna, there's nothing but love, but it has many forms. We are all his children. A devotee recognizes even the anger of the Lord, which is indirectly coming through material nature to us. It is essentially his love. And if we can recognize that and be grateful and understand what the Lord is trying to teach us, then it is all auspicious. So in this case, we are hearing about another pure devotee, like Prahlad, and the wonderful lesson that the Lord is teaching through him. Is there any questions? Yes, Yugavatar Prabhu.
Maharaj, I had two questions regarding the two pastimes, Prahlad and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. We are discussing how Prahlad was pure and he was a preacher. What happens with us is we enter Krishna consciousness and slowly, slowly we start preaching, become preachers, take up services. And over the years, what happens is after some years, the past conditioning starts haunting us like anything, maybe after 10, 15 years. And then we are struggling, fighting, having some pitfalls. And the first, there are some thoughts which come to mind. One is, should I stop this big services and take a back seat and concentrate more on my sadhana and this thing? And the second thought that comes is, I should continue with my all the services of preaching and all other services so that these services will purify me and I'll get over my conditionings. So this dilemma comes after a few years that what should I do exactly? That is one question. The other question I
should... You should, one question is enough. My request is you continue your services. They are wonderful services. But part of your, an integral part of your service is to improve your sadhana. It's not one or the other. Your practical service and your sadhana, they should be seen as inseparable. By bringing others to Krishna consciousness, even taking risks, you're pleasing Krishna immensely. But you will not be able to continue unless you have strong sadhana.
Thank you. Should I ask the other question? The other question is about, we are talking about the doubt in Pundarik Vidyanidhi's case. One doubt came to my mind. Is Pundarik Vidyanidhi originally is Vrishabhanu, the father of Radharani. And how can Jagannath, you know, hit father of Radharani, who is so like a father-in-law to him.
We should ask Vrishabhanu, the father of Radharani, to answer this question. You have, Jagannath could do as he likes in his lila. So wonderful. It's so nice that you observe that. Ultimately, Vrishabhanu was playing the role of his own devotee. Yes? And in the role of a devotee, he was not... Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered him his father. But in the role of a devotee, Jagannath was his master. Yes? So that is the lila. It's a perfect lila. And I'm very happy to see you laughing about this. In the spirit of Prahlad, taking all risks for the service of the Lord, I would like you to introduce you to a very, very dear friend of mine, Brahmananda Prabhu. I could only speak a few things of what he has done because I do not know everything. Only Krishna knows everything. But do you remember the drama that Dwarkadish Prabhu and the others put on last year? Salted bread drama, showing the persecution, the atrocities, and the risks of the devotees under the behind the Iron Curtain who try to spread Krishna consciousness. Brahmananda Prabhu was very much foundational in all of that. More than anyone else, he took the biggest risks of his life to spread Krishna consciousness in the Soviet Union. He was the one who was illegally printing and publishing Prabhupada's books. And the reason we were being attacked and put in prisons and tortured and killed was for distributing these books. They were looking like, they were searching so much for the source of who is supplying these books. In Armenia, in the Soviet Union, he was supplying the books for all the countries. Underground. He was personally responsible for publishing 12 million of Prabhupada's books. And if they would have found him, they would have certainly tortured and killed him. And he knew that. But all his life savings, whatever money he had, everything he had, he was just putting it into publishing these books. Because nobody else had anything. He was using his own funds to publish these books. And whatever came, only nothing he kept. It was all just whatever money came in was only to publish more books. Very, very secret. And the preachers of the Soviet Union, they knew that if there was one person they had to protect, it was him. Because otherwise there would be no more books. So yes, he took tremendous risk. And most of the devotees, it was a selfless task because most of the devotees didn't even know it was him. Yes? They had to keep it a secret because people were getting arrested and sometimes being tortured to tell, you know, where the books are coming from. So they couldn't tell anyone that he was the one. Only a couple people knew. And those couple people were in prison, but they would not say because they knew everything would be so much disturbed. So here he was, risking his life, putting all his wealth, his energies, taking such immense risks, and not getting any credit because nobody even knew it was him. It had to be that way. That's my understanding. That's my understanding. And later on, when things became open, then he had all the contacts already. He made book distribution flourish all the more. And as far as Mayapur Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham, he was one of the biggest donors in history to Sri Mayapur. And very, very close with Harikesh Prabhu at the time and Jai Pitak Maharaj. And he's especially come to Bombay to visit with His Holiness Jai Pitak Maharaj today. And there are so many other things we can speak. But I'm just so honored and grateful that Brahmananda Prabhu is here with his good wife, Sakhi Priya Devi. they are disciples of His Divine Grace Bhakti Sundar Govinda Maharaj, who is the very beloved disciple and successor of His Divine Grace Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, who was one of Prabhupada's dearmost god brothers. Let us very, very enthusiastically, with tears of gratitude in our hearts, welcome Brahmananda Prabhu and Sakhi Priya Devi to Radha Gopinath Temple. I can't. What a blessing it is, the second day of the December book distribution marathon. One of the most historical people in the history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement for book distribution has come to our temple.